You know, ancient Rome was not without its centuries of warnings. Ancient Rome, you may be shocked to learn, when it started out, I say when it started out, no empire just starts out, but in the early few hundred years, even prior to the time of Jesus Christ, when the Roman Empire began to reach its heyday, it had a strong family structure, strong family units. It became a very powerful, very viable empire. Later on, those family units gradually disintegrated. The complete new philosophy by some of the ancient Greek philosophers and some of the mystics who brought about a complete revision sociologically, economically, militarily, spiritually, and religiously, and that nation gradually was brought down because of decadence from within. The ancient Roman Empire was not without people standing in the street corners lifting up their voice in alarm and saying, someday Rome is going to fall. Now that would have been just as ridiculous to a person in Rome back in the days of Jesus Christ and the reign of Julius Caesar, even before Augustus Caesar, for example, for some person to have stood up in the Roman Senate and have said, Rome is going to fall. Here is a gigantic empire. I mean, its legions were marching from one shore to the other. Here were tin mines up in England, and here were Roman ships circumnavigating Africa. Why, Roman garrisons were from the Middle East and Africa and all over into Persia and completely over to the foothills of the mountains leading into China, for pity's sake. They were all over Europe, up into England and into Scandinavia. There were Roman villages up in England. A vast world-ruling empire, the whole known world at that time, under the heel of Rome. That would have been just like some character walking down Wall Street, New York, maybe in the shadow of the trade towers in South Manhattan, and saying at the top of his little squeaky voice on a windy day, with all the people running for shelter, newspapers whirling around, and taxi cabs going by, nobody is listening, and he's saying, New York is going to fall. New York is going to come down. People would say, who is this idiot? Why don't the men in white come and carry him away? Someone ought to come and arrest this joker. What is he doing with these signs on his back saying, flee from the wrath to come? For someone to actually, seriously propose that the great power, the unbelievable wealth, the vast resources that are represented by those giant 100-and-plus-story skyscrapers in Manhattan, Gotham, we call it, the megalopolis of America, New York City. And to think that that could ever symbolically come toppling down, I'm not talking about an earthquake, I'm talking about the complete destruction of our American way of life. I'm talking about the disintegration of our civilization as we know it. I'm talking about the tearing apart of the fabric of our society, where neighbor does not any longer respect neighbor or neighbor's property. Now, of course, you could talk about that for the next 4 hours and wonder whether or not we do anyway. But I'm talking about the thin blue line that is out there, that at least with regard to our police forces and our fire departments and our state troopers and our federal agencies and the fabric of government and of the judiciary and legislative bodies of government as we have come to know them, state, county, and local, that most citizens can still depend upon picking up the telephone and saying, call the police or call an ambulance or call a doctor or call the fireman. And we have some sort of a regulated society that we like to try to depend upon. What happens when all such regulation is gone? What happens when total anarchy breaks out? Is it possible that the very fabric of the United States of America could come unwound? That we could just go down the drain as a nation? Yes, it is. It is possible. Now, people didn't believe that in ancient Rome, and people don't want to believe it today. There has only been one example in all of recorded history where a nation heeded a warning that was sent to it by Almighty God, and where they repented, and where the leader of the nation told them they had better fast and pray and beseech God and beg him not to do to them what they were so richly deserving of having done to them. And that was ancient Nineveh at the preaching of a prophet named Jonah. Jonah is an interesting case in point because Jonah didn't want to carry that message to ancient Nineveh. He didn't feel he was a qualified servant of God to take that message. He didn't want to do it. He tried to run. He tried to escape. He felt he was like Joe Blitzpuck in the Little Abner comic strip. He went around with a little black cloud raining on him all the time. He thought he was nothing but bad luck and bad news wherever he went. Well, horror was going to occur. And when the sailors threw him overboard, that's what they thought, too. Well, you know the story of Jonah and the whale, or Jonah and the great fish, and even Jesus Christ of Nazareth used the period of time that Jonah was in the belly of that great fish as the exact period of time he would remain in the heart of the earth, Matthew 12:40, the perennial, perpetual sign, even through astronomy and history, that people could look back, and historians and astronomers, in checking very carefully in the calendar, having to do, believe it or not, with the decree of Artaxerxes, having to do with the building of the temple, the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist, the ministry of Christ himself, dozens of prophecies that all hinged upon each other in one sense, having to do with the return of all of the ancient Jewish people from their Babylonian captivity back under Ezra and Nehemiah and Zerubbabel to rebuild the temple. The decree of Artaxerxes set all of that up. The 11th chapter of Daniel reveals a great deal of that, as does the last part of the 10th chapter, that there were great spiritual forces trying to bring about a collapse of those prophecies. Everything depended upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the exact period of time he was going to be in the grave or in the tomb, the heart of the earth, was likened to the exact period of time that Jonah, that ancient prophet, as a symbol of Jesus Christ, as a symbol of one who came to a great nation to give it warning, had to undergo that horrible period of time. Jonah went to Nineveh. He walked up and down its streets for a month, and he said, Nineveh is going to fall. The only difference is the king of Nineveh believed Jonah, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth, and sat on a bed of ashes and began to pray. And he got all of his citizens to do the same thing, and they didn't even feed their cattle. And they really put up a mourning sound to God, and God heard it, and God did not destroy that nation. It's the only time in all of history that a people have been warned from God of coming national calamity if they didn't change their ways, and they changed their ways and averted the national calamity. Now, God's word says that a message must go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and that we are a part of those lost sheep of the house of Israel, and we are having our comeuppance, and it is looming on the horizon, and it can happen here. The Ezekiel message must go out to our people, and the basis of that message is, if we repent, then it doesn't happen. It's just that simple. It doesn't have to happen here, but it will unless we do individually and nationally, collectively, get on our knees and call out to our God.